Okay, so the Rashba is taking up a Gemara in next Gemara is in Lamed Dalet Amud Beis and Brachos. So he condensed it. He only takes two of the positions. The Gemara says like this: Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hanaviim Kulan Lo Nis Nabu. Ela lemasi bito l'talma chacham, ula osa prakmati l'talma chacham, ula mahane talma chacham min chosov. Strange, what does that mean? It's hard to even understand what it means. So he said, Rabbi Yochanan said, all of the Nevi'im only gave prophecy. Rashi says, lo nisnabu hatovos v'hanechomos. All of the good that the Nevi'im talk about was only to the one who marries his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or does business with a Talmud Chacham, or benefits a Talmud Chacham with his property. Of al Talmidei Chachamim Atzman, but the Talmud Chacham himself, Ayin lo ros Elokim Zulosecha, Yase lemachak elo. Okay, but the Talmud Chacham himself, that good, is Ayin El Ros Elokim Zulosech. That good, no eye has seen other than God. Okay?
Okay.
The good that awaits the Talmud Chacham. Okay? Okay, so if anybody, you might have seen that phrase before. Ayin El Ros Elokim Zulosech. The Rambam, has that, we were doing it in Chalek, watch your head there, doing it in Chalek, and it's in Hilchos Tshuva, and that's referring to Olam Haba. That's the Ram, this Gemara is referring to Olam Haba. So we say about Olam Haba, Ayin lo rosa lo kimzo asacha. No eye has seen it other than you. Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. But what does the first half mean? What does it mean that the Nevi'im were Nisnabu only the Masi Bito L'Talma Chacham, Ula Oseh Prakmati L'Talma Chacham, Ula Mahana L'Talma Chacham, Mina Chosov? So that's who the Nevi'im gave prophecy for. Okay. So the Marsha, the Marsha gives explains a little bit. You can always rely on the Marsha in these types of situations. That this phraseology of Lemasi Bito L'Talmud Chacham, right? Ulose Prakmachi L'Talmud Chacham, Ulemahana Talmud Chacham Min Chosov, that's referring to another Gemara. That's a reference to another Gemara. That's a reference to a Gemara in Ksubos. Okay. Gemara in Ksubos says, on Kuf Yud Aleph, on the base. It's an interesting Gemara. It's talking about that an Amaris is considered like a mace, the Gemara says. And Gemara is trying to show you how the Amaris can help himself. So one way is learning Torah. Okay. yeah. Because it says, Kitel Oros Talecha Veretz Reform Tapio. So, Kol HaMishtamish Be'or Torah, Or Torah Mechayeu. So, whoever is involved in the light of Torah, Torah will give him life. Okay, but anyway, the Gemara says, Rebbe was upset that the Talmud Chacham, that the Amoritz has no is not considered to be like alive. He was upset about that idea. Bothered him that Amoritz has no chance. So he says, one of the Talmidim said, Motzasi lohen takana min haTorah. I found a way to help the Amoritz. What is it? Va'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kol chamayom. Pasuk says, you are cleaving to Hashem. You who are cleaving to Hashem, you are alive all day long. Chayim kolchem ayom. You're all alive today. So they're looking, you know, as the pasuk is the Gemara. They're looking for ways that the pasuk considers someone to be alive. Because life over here is a mashal for olam haba, for true life. So they're saying over here that the pasuk says, "You who are dveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, you are chayim kolchem ayom." So the Gemara says a simple question. What do you mean you're cleaving to Hashem? Who can cleave to the Shechina? Who can hold on to the Shechina? It says God is a consuming fire. So how is it possible to be dveikim b'Hashem and chayim kol chem ayom? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, something to think about here. So what is the answer? So the Gemara says, "Ela kol hamasi bito l'talmid chacham va'osa pragmati l'talmid chacham va'mahane talmid chacham min chosov ma'ile alav akosov ki'ilu medavek b'shchina." But what does it mean to be dveikim b'Hashem? It means to say that it's referring to those who. This is the same exact phrase. Those who marry their daughter to a talmid chacham, who do business with a talmid chacham, and who are mahana talmidei chacham min hachasav. Those are considered dveikim b'Hashem. So that's what he's saying. He's saying even though the person is an am haaretz, and he does have a route to perfection. He does have a root, and that is these methods. One second. Misasek b'mamon tamachach. Okay, osa pragmatia. It means to say this is something that is what are the three things. One is easy to understand. You marry your daughter off to Talmid Chacham. The last one also is easy to understand. You're mahana Talmid Chacham mina chasov. But what is the middle one? Prakmati osa prakmatia litalmidei chachamim. So it says like this. It means misaseg b'mamon Talmid Chacham kedei lahagia liyodam schar. You do business with their money, so they'll get schar for it. V'heim penuyim lasak b'torah al yidei elu. So that's the middle one that you like. You help to invest, or you take the investments into your business from their money. It used to be like that. The old European they used to do things like that. I don't know if you ever hear like they make a contract. They make the rav 1% partner of it. You know, just like a.
That's where you get the heteriska from, though.
Heteriska is for a loan, but you had a question?
Yeah.
David?
Is that them implying that Talmidei Chacham are the ones who are Davik B'Shechina?
No, it's actually Davik B'Shechina. This is a different method. No, it's
how,
saying
right.
It's saying there is a method of Chayim where you're Oseg in Torah. That's one mechanism to be considered to be alive. But then there's another mechanism that's lidovek b'shchina. But the Gemara says dvekus is not so simple. What's dvekus mean? Right? What's dvekus? I know it's like thrown around as like the highest level, dvekus. But the Gemara is saying no, on the contrary, it's not. It's not. Dvekus is really. Is really like a secondary idea. The Rambam explains it in Deos. He says like this: Derech briyoso shel adam lios nimshach b'deosav u'b'maisav achar reyav v'chaverav v'noeg b'minog anshe medinaso. So this is the way of man that it's the way that he's made. It's just part of man's makeup that he is drawn after the opinions and the actions of his friends. And he follows the way of his community. Lefikach tzorch odom leschaber letzadikim v'leishev etzor chachamim tomid kidei sheyilamed ma'aseyam. So therefore, a person has to choose as his friends, as the people he wants to join and be close to, tzadikim, so that he'll listen, he'll sit by them, and he'll learn from them. V'yisrachek min harishoyim haholchim b'choshech kidei shelo yilmod mi ma'aseyam. And he should distance himself from Rishayim, because you can't help it. You just you pick up. He says that the Rambam is just saying, don't think this is something you can change. Don't think you can overcome this. This is just derech briyaso shel adam. It's part of the nature of man. I mean, if you, to the degree that you feel you're with them, you're automatically going to start to identify and start to habituate yourself to their habits. I mean, that's what being part of a group is about. So you can't say I want to be part of the group, but I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to learn anything. Well, then you're not being part of the group. I mean, to the degree that you feel like you're part of the group, you're identifying and you're taking those values. So so therefore, the Rambam says you should try to be a tzorach adam lishaber letzadikim. Okay, he goes on one more. He said, and he's like this: mitzvas asay lihidobek b'chachamim kidei lilmod b'maseim. Rambam counts that as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah asay of dveikus.
That's funny. On the other side of why would the talmidei chachamim want to marry their kids off to the
That's
the
true. It's a very good question. Well, the Gemara says the other way, that what? Yeah, it says you should. Doesn't the Gemara say you should marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, right?
Yeah.
Right. You should sell everything you have to marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, right? Wait. So what's the problem? You mean the kid? You mean the father-in-law?
Or whoever's married. You're trying to marry your daughter. The Amoritz
right.
is marrying his daughter off to the Talmid Chacham.
Right.
That means the Talmid Chacham is marrying the.
Right, so it must be like this, that an Amma Aretz can have a, it would have to be, you're right, the Talmid Chacham would have to, she'd have to be someone with good midos. You're right.
Because now you have the other problem, the Talmid Chacham is now moving his life closer to the Amma Aretz, and he's going to be affected by him.
That's a good question, let's see, so it's like this, mitzvahs asei lihidobek b'chachamim kidei lilmod b'mayaseim, shnemar ubo tidbak, v'chi efshel adam lihidobek b'shchino, elakach amr chachamim b'feirish mitzvah zu. Hidobek b'chachomim v'talmideim. Right. The Gemara explains, it doesn't mean dveikus b'Hashem. It means to be dovak b'chachomim v'talmideim. Lefikach tzorach odom l'shtadel sheyisa bas talmud chachomim. V'yasi bito l'talmud chachomim. V'lecho v'lishtos im talmide chachomim. V'lasos pragmatio l'talmide chachomim. Ram answered a few. U'leschaber lehem b'chol minei chibor. Shnemar u'ledovka bo. Yep. V'kach tzivu chacham v'omru havi misavek ba'afar raglayim v'shose b'tzome es divrayim. Okay. Yeah. So that's what the Marsha explains. Just pshat. We're just working on the pshat here. That when the Gemara says that Kol ha-neviim lo nisnabu el masi bito l'talmid chacham. So the Marsha explains what that means is that kol hanu dikachoshev heim she'amru aleim sof perek beis tiksubas. These are all the ones v'atem avekim. Okay, so it means to say that she'dveikus Shelohen may vi in lide schar hanemar b'neviim. That's what this Gemara is saying. Saying what the schar that the neviim talk about, all the good that the neviim talk about, that's a schar for someone who's involved in dveikus. Okay, that's the schar of dveikus. That, shekach biad odom hagashmi lasigo. Shekoach biad odom hagashmi lasigo. The schar of the level of what he's calling dveikus is something that the can physically be understood. You can understand it. There's a koach in the biad odom hagashmi. There's the ability for the person who's physical to understand what the idea of a schar of a of someone who's dovek b'Torah, dovek b'chachamim. But the Talmud Chacham himself, that's the schar Talmud Chacham, that's Olam Haba. And Olam Haba is not something that the physical, that can be understood and can be perceived by a physical being. That's the pshat of the Gemara, and that's what the Rambam explains in Chelek. He gives his famous mashal of that if you don't have any relationship to something, if you don't have any idea about something, you don't have there's no similarity to something. There's just no way to understand it. So it's a very profound concept. It's hard for us to really understand it, but it's a profound idea, saying that in reality the schar, the ultimate schar, which is Olam Haba, which is considered completely ruchni, completely spiritual, is impossible for us to really even get a sense of what it means. The Rambam over there in Chelek says we don't really have any ruchnius experiences. Where this is very bad for the whole music industry. We got rid of Dveikus, and then you get a ruchnius. What's left? I don't think Gashmius is going to be a big seller. But so the Rambam says we're all of our experience is rooted in the physical. We can think and we have ideas, but our pleasures and our experiences are rooted in the physical. And to try to understand what a purely spiritual ruchnius pleasure is beyond our ability. So the amazing thing, what does he say over there? He says it would be like trying to explain color to a blind man. Right? Is that the mashal over there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be like trying to explain color to a blind man. He doesn't even understand what seeing is, and all the more so he can't appreciate a detail in that. So or he says like trying to explain fire to a fish.
Right.
They don't live. So that's a better marshal aside for the fact that you have to talk to a fish,
yeah.
but in terms of the idea, it's a good idea, because it means to say that the fish lives in an environment that is completely doesn't have any room for the experience of fire. So we, in that sense, saying we are in an environment, our whole basis of life is beyond the experience of ruchni. It doesn't make any room for it. We don't have that framework that such a thing can exist within. So you'll be involved in the mitzvah here. So it's like on Erev Pesach. You ever see that Gemara? So the Mishnah says in Erev Pesach when they would do the Shechitas Pesach, so they would pass down the kelim, so everybody be osay involved in the mitzvah. Anyhow, so yeah. So that's the first drush over here. That it's interesting. In other words, that the level. So he's saying even though there is an idea of dveikus, and that gives a person a zechus, but the schar of the level of dveikus is not comparable to the schar of Talmud Chacham himself. And Bederach Moshel is saying that the idea of the schar of dveikus, that's the reward that the Nevi'im speak of. That's l'masi bita l'Talmud Chacham. But the Talmud Chacham Atzmo, that's Ayin Lo Rosa Elokim Zolosecha. Means to say, even the Navi couldn't, nobody can understand and perceive it. Only God. Yeah. But the Gemara doesn't say, V'chi Efshali Davik Be'akarish Bocha, Ein Lo Guf, Ein Bal Guf, Ein Bal Temuna. Because it's talking about Shechina, you could say. Shechina is a physical manifestation of God's hashgacha. That's what Shechina is. You see the Shechina is shore on the Beis Hamikdash. The Shechina is shore here. It means to say it's a physical manifestation of a certain degree of hashgacha. So dveikus is saying you can't even have dveikus by Shechina. Yeah, but what is it really trying to explain over there? What's the question and what's the answer? Dveikus. So what is Dveikus? So it seems that Dveikus is saying, like the Rambam says, it's not a direct method of learning. It's not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is where you're accessing the ideas through your mind, through your Tzelem Elokim. There's no action involved. That's just like the Or Torah. That's why we say Torah Or means to say that you're like illuminating. With your Das, you can illuminate. So that's an experience in the mind. But Dveikus is not. Dveikus is not describing that kind of a method. Dveikus is describing a method where some call like by osmosis, right? You guys from Seattle familiar with that expression? Ray Moskowitz used to always use that expression. You learn by osmosis,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's by
writing the words down on the paper before you take the test, though.
What's that? So he's saying by Dveikus, like the Ram says, it's a different method. It's a method of just setting them as your framework. You can set them as models. That's why it doesn't go back when the Amoritz is dovuk. This is an obvious question. The Amoritz is dovuk to the Chachamim. It doesn't go back on them because the derech of Dveikus is to make yourself attach yourself to them and join them with the recognition that they are a certain role model, they have a certain stature that you can learn from. It wouldn't be dveikus for you to start inserting your opinions, and I mean, we say you shouldn't speak in front of a tancha. There's a certain derech of dveikus, so it wouldn't bring the Talmud Chacham down. But he's saying that method of Dveikus, it will give you very good perfection. It'll give you good perfection in terms of midos, in terms of doing things. You'll be able to stay away from nonsense and things like that. But that's not going to bring you, it's not going to bring you automatically to the ultimate level of yidia. I mean, It'll have a tremendous benefit to a person. You won't. I mean, look, we all have to be honest that you look around in society. I mean, you know, the way you see children grow up now, as opposed to the way we grew up or you grew up. Not to to date ourselves too much, but you see, I mean, you grow up with different values.
Yeah,
I mean, based on what you're watching, what you're experiencing, who your heroes are, and you know. And there are certain limitations that are set intrinsically just by your environment. So if you make you as your environment Talmidei Chachamim, and they're your role models, is definitely going to keep you from a lot of harm, and it will set you on a certain basic path of goodness. But will it give you the idea? No, it won't give you true knowledge. So the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is explaining, that there's a certain level of perfection that comes from Dveikus, and then what? But that the schar is considered like a schar of the Nevi'im are speaking about. But the ultimate schar is Ayin L'Ros Elokim Zolotecha. Yeah. So how does the Talmud Chacham fulfill Dveikus? I mean, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to say, right? So you have to say the Dovik to each other? Just technically a question of you. Or they don't have, they can't do that mitzvah. How does he say? Yeah. Lihidabek biyodav. So I guess it would be to each other. They could accomplish that with each other. Okay, anyway. So that's the first drasha. But then his real goal is to explain the next one. Okay, so listen to the next one. This one is really strange. I was skipping a few in the middle, but it's like this. Omar, my ayin lo rosa elokim zulasecha. What is this thing that no eye has seen other than God? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ze Yayin HaMeshumar Be'anovav Misheshes Yimei Breishis. This is the wine that has been kept in its grapes from the 6 days of creation. Reish Lakish Omar Ze Eden. He says, no, this is Eden. Shelo Rasa Ayin Me'olam, because no eye ever saw Eden. So what's the question? Adam. And if you're going to say Adam HaRishon, where was he? What's the answer?
He forgot.
He was in the Gan. He was in the Gan. And if you're going to say the Gan is Eden, what's the answer? It says, it says, V'nohar Yotze Me'Eden L'Hashkos Zagan. A river came out of Eden to irrigate the garden.
So the Gan just has like Eden.
Mayim,
a yeah.
May Aden.
Aden. May Aden.
Isn't that a drink?
Oh,
it's
gosh.
To drink in Israel.
No, I get
mean,
it.
This is water, but normal water. Holy water.
Okay, so once again he says, what is that which the eye has not seen? That's the Yayin that's kept in the that's one opinion says. It's the wine that's kept in the grapes from the 6 days of creation. That's the first opinion. Second opinion is Reish Lakish says, no, it's Aden itself. It's Aden itself. And then he has to answer up a question. What do you mean Aden? No, Adam was not in Aden. He was in the Gan of Aden, but not Aden itself. Okay? Okay, let's see what we can do with this. So this is what he's trying to focus on. He's trying to focus on explaining these last two opinions. What it is that no eye has seen. What it is that no eye has seen. All right, let's see. He says like this, Yayin HaMashumar Ba'anovav V'gan Eden V'nohar Sod. So he says these three things, the Yayin in the grapes, the four things, the Gan, Eden, and the river are all a Sod. So that's bad news for us because he says he's not going to explain what Sod, the Sod is, the things. Ulefi Pshutan Shel Devarim. But according to this, to the pshat, the plain pshat, what does it mean? And let's see if we can figure something out here. L'fisha hayayin misamech es halev. Wine makes the heart happy. U'mishakeach daigos hamikrim. And it makes you forget the troubles of events. Kid amar v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. So yayin has that effect to make you happy and to forget your troubles. The Omer Yishdev Yishkach Resho Al Kain Ramzu HaSimcha Keinyan Yayin Shebo Lotus Arev Daiga. So he's saying, what does it mean over here? It's talking this, it was trying to talk about the Simcha of Olam Haba. So it uses as a mashal Yayin. Why? Because Yayin is a remez to a simcha that doesn't have any daiga. Doesn't have with it tsar and daaga.
Daaga.
Worry. Adam doeg al domov.
That's why it's called the spirit.
The spirit.
Well,
it's true. It's true. I mean, it takes over your spirit. So it is funny, though, right, to say that Yayin is the. And then he says like this: Ve'omram shayayin hahu gonos l'talmidei chachamim. What does it mean? It was stored away for the chachamim. Mipnei shatorah gam hi ramuza biyayin. Torah is also hinted at with the term wine. Ke'amru l'chu shivru v'achu l'chu shivru b'lo kesef b'lo mechir yayin v'cholav. You can go and eat and drink without any money wine and milk. So I saw the Radak says over there wine and milk are both like Torah. He says wine is simcha and milk refers to like giving life like a mother's milk. gives sustenance. So the Torah is nimshal to yayin and mother's milk, really. V'omar lechu lachamu b'lachmei v'ushesu b'yayin miskasi. B'lachmei v'ushesu b'yayin miskasi. So eat my bread and drink the wine I mixed. Alkein omar sh'ayayin ahu hu gonuz l'misaskim b'torah shehi remuza b'yayin. Mida keneged mida. All right, so what's he saying over here? Yeah, well, it's trying to explain the first point. The first point is what? What is yayin? What is yayin to begin with? So he's saying yayin is a mashal for two things. He's saying yayin is in general a something that can give a person a certain simcha and remove his daga. It's funny, isn't it? And it's also, that's in general, that's what wine has the capacity to do, physically. So therefore, the ultimate schar is a mashal to yayin. And what else? And yayin is also associated as a remez to Torah. Many psukim, I'm saying they're psukim like that. So therefore it says, it's like a mida keneged mida. That what? That the ones who are osik in Torah, which is remuza to yayin, will have a schar of that's also remuza to yayin. But is there, what is the connection between? Is it just, it's not just an arbitrary thing that we compare Torah to yayin and the simcha to yayin. I mean, we have to understand a little bit more what the comparison to yayin is. Yeah.
Can I try something?
Okay, so John is saying that Torah is, well, let me start out with the yayin for a minute. So that doesn't work. What is the simcha of yayin? What is the simcha of yayin? So I think the mashal to the simcha of yayin is it's not a simcha of doing, right? It's not a simcha of being involved in something else. Like sometimes people are happy when they pursue something because it takes their mind off of other things, whatever it is, they're busy themselves. Most people being you know, not doing something is like a torture to them. You know, for instance, if people retire, they become, right. We were just talking about that last
week.
They have nothing to do with themselves, right? So they're bored. Or people are constantly checking their smartphones these days because they can't, you know, be alone with themselves for 5 minutes. But I mean, some people, it's you know, it's not just them. Nobody would want to be with them for 5 minutes. But for themselves, it's even worse. But the thing is, that there's a simcha of yayin is like a simcha. It represents you're not doing anything. But it's that it puts you into a certain state of simcha just from being.
Yeah.
It's not like a simcha that's from busy, and it sort of takes away your fears. You sort of calm yourself down. A lot of people, like you're saying, are busy to escape thinking about things, to run away from their fears, and they stop doing something. They you know, all of their worries pile onto them, and they can't, and they've got to. I mean, people tell me this, you know, openly. You know, they got to keep busy, or else the mind will start thinking about things. You know, all those types of things.
We have Shabbos.
Yeah. So yayin has that certain mashal, it's a mashal of a state of simcha that comes from removal of the nonsense of the fears, and just appreciating and able to be happy in your state. Of course, it's just a mashal, because it just in a very crude way is a mashal to the simcha of Torah, which is the real simcha of the state of being. A certain simcha of where, like John was saying, with Torah you really can see in truth that these other things are nonsense and distractions. And by learning and elevating your own yourself, you can appreciate existing in a certain state of being that's proper, and not most people have a happiness from avoiding themselves. But there's a certain happiness. So the happiness of Torah is a happiness that comes from appreciating reality itself, and that's why Yayin is a mushel. It's purely a mushel because it just replicates in a very simple way a certain engaging in a pleasure without pursuing some other thing, and the pleasure comes from easing the tensions and allowing yourself to enjoy the moment. But it's a marshal to that type of a pleasure, not the pleasure that comes from escaping. Truthfully, it is an escape, but not from running and running, but
well,
from
that's
being.
Why you have a degree. I mean, there's certainly a certain amount, yes. Beyond that, it becomes an abuse of
yayin, right.
So that now becomes
that's right
your reality.
Right, yayin is very delicate. The Gemara talks about yayin, a very fine line. Gemara says it's tirosh, that it sometimes it makes you good. It's a little bit is good for you, and a lot of it will make you poor. There's a lot of Gemara's. Just doing it in Sanhedrin. I don't remember where it was exactly.
Learning a little bit is good.
What's that?
I mean, you're not supposed to learn.
No, it's talking about yayin. Talking about the yayin. Only the yayin. Only by yayin. So.
Saying like if learning is yayin, so what does that mean?
No, no, no. It isn't yayin, but there's a mushal to the experience of the pleasure of yayin. In the proper pleasure of yayin is a mushal to the type of pleasure of learning, meaning it's a pleasure of removing your distractions and removing the nonsense that fills that makes you worry, right, and allows you to be in the moment. But it's a pleasure of being, and Torah is the true pleasure of being. Yayin is a false pleasure of being because you just tamping it down for a moment, but Torah is the true pleasure of being because you really uncover and reveal why all of those things that were worrying you are not the reality, and to appreciate what the true reality of life is about. So it's just a mushel in that way. So he's saying that Olam Haba also has that mushel. Is also part of that idea. That's so. What does it mean? It's Mishumar Be'anova of Misheshes Yimei Bracious. He says Remez Shehu Tainug Mesukan Misha'as HaYetzira. So first of all, just get back to me saying that. See, that's really what we hold. We hold that the pleasure of Olam Haba is really like the final culmination of what we're trying to, what we're doing in Olam Hazeh. See, we don't have the idea of, that's a very important point that the Rishonim make all the time, that we don't have an idea of an arbitrary type of a reward. Like you do X here, and in reward you're going to get Y. You know what I mean? You punish yourself in this world, like Christians. You punish yourself in this world, you deprive yourself in this world, and then the next world you're going to get... They don't really have a good defined next world, right?
No.
But
you see physical depictions all the time.
Physical depictions all the time, right. The only one that you ever hear Mark Twain's part on that, he says, doesn't understand why the Christians, they want for an eternity that which they can't stand to do for 1 hour on Sunday.
Yeah.
So he recognized that contradiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was a big philosemite, you know.
Oh, yeah. So he recognized that contradiction, but we don't have that contradiction. We have the idea that what we're pursuing here is to remove the misconceptions from the physical and to engage the neshama, and that type of a life is what we're pursuing. And Olam Haba is really like a natural progression where you naturally, if your soul has been developed, you're going to naturally continue to that kind of a life. And matter of fact, the Ramban is an amazing Ramban that he says, why is Olam Haba not mentioned in the Torah as a reward? Doesn't mention it in the Torah openly. All right, you say Chayim can mean that, but it doesn't say openly in the Torah Olam Haba. The Ramban is a fantastic answer. He says the Torah only mentions things that rewards that are alpi nes. Mm-hmm. He says, but Olam Haba is not Alpines. He says a person should, that if a person lives a certain life of the nefesh, that the nefesh should continue in Olam Haba is not an ace. That's, it's just a continuation of the existence that he was able to garner here. Yeah.
Doesn't the
Ramban hold
that Olam Haba is like
Chiyas Amesim? Oh, so okay, we'll get our terminologies different, but
he doesn't hold it's just like living like here.
Well, he has an idea that you'll go into an Olam HaNeshamos, right? And then that Olam HaNeshamos, he's saying, is the Hashar, what they call Hasharas HaNefesh, the fact that you live past the physical death.
Okay, but then after the Olam HaNeshamos,
that's Chiyas Amesim, right?
After Olam.
After Olam HaShamos, he holds you come back for Tchiyas HaMesim.
Right, so that's just natural?
No, that's not natural. But that is, that's not the real, the ultimate, I mean, why isn't that mentioned?
I'm saying, like, he's saying that, in according to Ramban, like, the ultimate, like, his real, like, his Olam Haba is, like, it's after the Olam HaShamos.
His Olam Haba... Well, he's talking about Hasharas HaNefesh. He says that's what he wants. He says, why doesn't it say in the Torah that there's going to be, that life continues after the physical death? So why doesn't it mention that? So he says that's a natural concept. But anyway, okay, it's a good question. But so that's what I'm saying. The simcha of, that's why Yayin is still a good remez for that. Because it's even further, you're removing in Olam Haba, you're even removing the last bit of Daigo, which comes from being alive, comes from being physical, right? So that still is a good remnant for it. I know as Plato's Socrates said when he was on his deathbed, you know, they were about to give him the hemlock, so... the students were upset, and he said, first of all, take the women out. I don't need any crying while I'm my last few hours over here. He said, why should I be upset? He said, the whole life of the philosopher is trying to achieve death, so to speak. Because what is death? Where the body, where the soul is freed from the constraint of the body. So the philosopher, all his life, is trying to live a life where he's freed from the constraints of the body. So why should I fear death now? It's just the next, you know, it's the further step. Yeah. Okay, so obviously life is good because it gives you more chance to work on it. And, right, the Rav said, Rav Chaim, he had a fear of death. You ever see that? What did the Rav say over there? He said he had this thing. He said the person who is, it's good. He held that was right, right? The Rav.
He didn't.
Because we hold you can't perfect yourself any further after death. But anyway, but the point was a good point. The point was a good point. Once you know it's inevitable, it's not something to fear. Yeah. It's not like a fear.
Why should you fear something you can do nothing about?
Well, you know, Rav Chaim did fear that.
No, I'm talking about Socrates. But why should you fear it? It's something that is a natural next step to what you've been preparing for all your life. So anyway, he has a fantastic mashal over there, Socrates. He says every time you engage in a physical pleasure, he says it's like weighing down your soul. It's like nailing your soul down. Okay. So anyway, so he says, what does it mean it was Meshumar from the 6 days of Bereishis? So let's see if he can understand a little bit of this. He says, it's a remez that this Tainug is Mesukan Misha'as HaYetzira. That from the time of creation, this pleasure was fixed. Mitzuraf Lezer, what's adjoined to this, Ki mipnei shetovos ha'olam hazeh shemisheshes yimei breishes v'hola einon shlemos. From creation on, there's no pleasure, there's no good that is complete. Ki yesh etzev imohem kipigoyim hamidavim v'hamisa. So in other words, any pleasure that we have from the 6 days of creation on always has mixed in with it some sort of a pain, some sort of a negative. Omar she'osa yayin, So that's what the mashal is. That wine, Ratzalom Osa HaSimcha, wine means that simcha, will be a simcha that has no sadness with it. Vehi HaMishumeres MiPigoyim HaNoagim MiSheishis MiBreishis Vom. Very nice mashal, poetic, right? He's saying, what does it mean? It's the wine that's been guarded from the 6 days of creation. It means to say it doesn't have any of the drawbacks of pleasures that we know of in our physical world that's after Sheshes and Mebrachus. That is, every pleasure that we have in from Sheshes and Mebrachus on always has mixed in with it some sort of a detraction. The wine, whatever, it'll give you a headache, it'll hurt your stomach. There's always something that's going to, there's always some negative. What's that? There's always some negative associated with the pleasure. So what he's saying is, this pleasure that's nimshal to yayin, the simcha of Olam Haba, is a simcha, two things he's saying. It's a simcha that was made from sheish to mebrish, meaning to say, it's what? It's intrinsic to creation. It's intrinsic. It's part of the very idea of creation itself. Mm-hmm. And it's not, but it's not polluted with any of the physical pollutants that come with creation. It's a pure pleasure to the soul. That's the mushel. It's just a beautiful, you have to think, to think about it. That's the mushel of Yayin Mishumer Be'anovov Misheshes Yimei Breshes. Okay. But let's just see if we can take one more thing over here. What I'd like to see if we can understand maybe a little bit the machlokas, because that's a very nice mushel. Right, it's Yayin HaMeshumar Be'anovav Mishesh Mebreshus. But what is Reish Lakish trying to get at? He says, no, it's not the Yayin HaMeshumar Be'anov. It's different. He says it's Aden. So what does that mean? He says...
These Meshalim are trying to describe the pleasure in Simcha and Olam
Haba. That's right. Trying to describe the pleasure of Olam Haba. So we have to think about what is the point of that? Right, since it's Ayin Lo Rasa comes with no, he can't really do it. Like, what are you trying to do?
Explaining it to your fish.
Right. So, and what is this machlokas? So Reish Lakish says it's Aden. So he's like, it's Da. Shegan Aden Shebo Omar Adam Harishon Hayu Ilonov Umayonov V'chol Inyonov Tziurim Lanu L'dvarim Dakim Od Mod. So all of these things, all the things that were in the Gan Eden with Adam, they were tziyurim. He says, "Lo, lidvarim dakim ma'od ma'od." What does that mean? It's not clear what that means. He says, like, "Yira mehem v'yizbonein be'inyan ruchni." That Adam was able to gain knowledge from the things that were with him in Gan Eden. Somehow or other, he's saying, Just like he says from last time, like the designs in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kelim and the Menorah and the Shulchan, they all had some correlation to Tziurim Sichliim, Kedelis Bonin Mohem Amitus HaElyonos. That he's saying that Adam in Gan Eden was provided with tools, meaning the whole structure of Gan Eden, the trees and the rivers and the well and the springs. Everything that was there had some design in it from which Adam was able to gain true knowledge. I don't have to understand what he means by that. Ve'ulam, he says, Shelagan Eden Shebo Dor Adam Rishon Yosir Niglim Kefi Shehaya Yosir Mikudash V'yotzir Kapov Shelakars Baruch Hu Umalach Elokim. So in other words, for him it was more obvious. In other words, the Gan that Adam was in, that's more Nigolim. Ubi Ilone Gan Eden Umayono Romaz Lo Sodus Muflon. The Eden who remez lamoko motzi hamayon. But Aden itself is a remez for the source of the Mayan. Like it says, the water came from Aden to irrigate the Gan. Vehu lo noda l'Adam, v'lo hisigu, ki lo omad rak began. He says, but Adam himself had no knowledge of Aden. Aden was the source of all of those wonderful things that were in the Gan, but he himself had no knowledge of it. V'yalkein omar ki af ha'eden v'tanugav she'ne'elmu me'ayin kol adam v'lo noda af l'adam arishon gam hu mesukin l'tamid echam. So he's saying, it sounds like he's saying it's going further, right? It sounds like he's saying the second pshat, Rish Lakish, is going deeper. He's saying, even the source of Eden, even the source of the Gan, meaning the Tainug of Eden itself, that was hidden from Adam, that also is Mesukin L'Tamid Chachamim. So what is he trying to get at of it with this, with the mushal of, I understand the mushal of the Yayin, I see what that's a mushal to. Yayin, he's saying, is a mushal to Simcha. Mishumer Mishesh Mibresh is a mushal that it's not, it doesn't have any of the, it's not mixed with any of the problems of the world. But what is this further mushal? What is this other mushal? Sounds like he's saying this is going deeper. That it's the Simcha is Olam Haba has a remez to Eden itself that Adam never saw. It's the Mokom Motzi HaMayon. So, I mean, the difference between the first mashal and the second mashal, in the second mashal he's saying that there will be, that it will be a place, it's describing the, he's saying it's like a place that has in it the greater ability to understand. Right? Saying Adam was in a place, Gan Eden. And that place had wonderful instruments of limud, of knowledge to him. But he never saw, he was unable to see the true source of all of that. In other words, saying that Aden is like, is a marshal to the source of all of the ultimate knowledge that Adam was able to get.
But that sounds metaphysical, like you're in a better place. I mean, not you're right, in a better location.
Right.
You're mentally in a better state or whatever. So then somebody
right.
said like they have a, you know, you feel it in your heart. It doesn't mean physically your heart, but
right.
it means that it's a certain state of mind. So
that's
I would
right.
say that it's a certain maybe level of Dea.
Right.
That was beyond Adam, who was only in Gan Eden. It's like a subset
correct.
of Eden.
Correct. That was seems like the second, the first mashal is just trying to explain it from the experience. Saying the experience of the pleasure is an experience of the full function of the soul without any impediment. Right, that's what it means. It means Yayin is the Simcha without any Da'aga. But it's trying to just give you a point to you. And both of these things, we can't really say what it is. Ayin lo ros elokim zlo asecha. All right, no, someone could ask me a question. The Gemara that says Shabbos is the 60th of Olam Haba. But the point is that we can understand what the Gemara over here is trying to do is trying to explain to you the type of Simcha, or the nature of the Simcha. So he's saying the nature of it is a mashal in two ways. Either by showing you logically that there's a Simcha of the function of the soul. Now we can experience it by Torah, or we experience it greater because we see that we remove the nonsense and the fantasy of this world, so we're able to experience the reality of the pleasure of reality when you remove the impediments of fantasy. So too, there'll be an ultimate freedom from the trappings of the physical world, and you'll be able to have a simcha like that. In other words, the Ram goes through a lot of this in Chelek. Because you can't explain what it is, but you can show somebody, look, you made a transition earlier, there's going to be another transition. Right? Like the Ram says, like, you can say someone from, you went from a kid where they enjoyed playing ball to a king where he doesn't enjoy the playing ball anymore. Now he enjoys power. So you can show somebody, look, in your own experiences, you know that there are times where you made tremendous transitions from framework to framework. Kids' framework is just simple pleasures. The politician's framework is ego and power. So, but Derech Moshe, you can say, we, the ultimate that you can gain here is a certain pleasure of the of utilizing your soul properly. There will also be a tremendous transition in the future from being freed from this, and the Ram even says you'll look back and you'll think that this was like a child's play. But the point is, you're right, we can't give you a taste of what it is, but we can show you B'derech Moshel that there's this that there is an idea of transitioning from framework to framework, and you can have an idea of that type of thing. So that's one type of Moshel. It's just going in terms of trying to show you that it's a freedom from the pain that's intrinsic in sheshes, from sheshes and mebrachus. So it's a tainug that is freed from that. That's the wine. Can we experience that? No, because we don't know what it's like. Can't get out of that framework. The second mashal is trying to show you the source of it. It's trying to say to you, what is the source of that tainug? It's that we'll be able to be exposed to the idea is that man, intrinsic in his nature, is impossible to be exposed to in this world. There were certain ideas. Adam, what's the mashal? Adam was the most perfect man created perfectly, and even he couldn't get a glimpse of what was in Eden. Why? What does that show you? It shows you there's just simply an intrinsic limitation in being man, that there are certain ideas you can't glimpse. Because Adam was the first man. If anybody should be able to be in the place of the full knowledge, it would be Adam. But even Adam was kept out of Eden. Adam was only able to see the trickle down from Eden. That's all we can really see. We can only see what trickles out of Eden, what comes out of Eden. We can't see the source itself, because given our physical existence, there's just certain concepts that we're barred from. So the second mashal is trying to show you what the source of that pleasure will be. And both of them, we can't explain it fully to anybody. We can't even really explain it. In other words, when I want to explain to you something, I'll say, I could try to like relate to you. Like if I see, if I want to explain something to you, so I try to conjure up in you an experience that's similar to mine. But you can't do that over here. But we can go one of the two ways. We can try to show you the type of pleasure. That's the Yayin Mashal, or the source of it, and why we're barred from experiencing in this world. We're barred from experiencing the Yayin pleasure because we don't have any Yayin that's from before Sheshet Mebrachus. That's a vintage that they don't sell.
Interesting.
And the second way is it's from knowledge that because we're man, we're barred from. Okay, like the Rambam says, every emotion, everything that's physical is always a masva. It's always a curtain between us and true knowledge. Even Moshe, I was on the highest level, he still had a curtain. Yeah.